Live from NPR News, I'm Korva Coleman. Officials in Lebanon say more than 100 people died after a massive explosion rocked warehouses in the port in Beirut. Thousands are injured. Leila Molana Allen is a journalist with the Channel France 24 and lives near the explosion zone.
Almost immediately, I mean, you know, from the moment it happened, there were injuries everywhere. And what we were hearing was that hospitals were completely overburdened, hundreds of people turning up at local hospitals. They were saying, please don't come if you don't need to, if it's not urgent. Lebanon also doesn't have its own ambulance service run by hospitals and the government. It's run a volunteer service by the Lebanese Red Cross, and they were completely overwhelmed too.
The Beirut warehouses were packed with highly explosive materials. In Missouri, a progressive challenger unseated a congressman who'd represented the St. Louis region for about 20 years. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on Cory Bush's victory.
Bush defeated Congressman Lacey Clay in Missouri's 1st Congressional District, which encompasses St. Louis and St. Louis County. Both Clay and his father served in that district for more than 50 years, but Bush rode a wave of progressive energy to a narrow win. Bush says she wants to bring the same energy to Congress that she delivered during protests over Michael Brown's death in Ferguson back in 2014.
So for me, it's about love and humanity. And so I want to represent each and every person, each and every group, and I have an open door. I want to be a true representative.
Bush is the latest progressive challenger to knock off an incumbent Democratic congressman. Earlier this summer in New York, Jamal Bowman defeated longtime Congressman Elliot Engel. For NPR News, I'm Jason Rosenbaum in St. Louis.
Republicans in Kansas have nominated Congressman Roger Marshall for the open U.S. Senate seat. He defeated former Kansas Secretary of State and immigration hardliner Chris Kobach. Marshall will go on to face Democrat Barbara Boulier in the fall. The Joe Biden presidential campaign has not always been as active on TV as Donald Trump, but ahead of the November election, his team is planning a $280 million media blitz. NPR's Asma Khalid has this report.
Most of that money is allocated for TV ads, $220 million, including in some states where Democrats don't usually compete, like Georgia and Texas. Another $60 million is devoted to digital ads. In total, they'll be targeting 15 states. The campaign says its message is not just focused on persuasion, but on voter education, given the potential challenges of voting in the midst of a pandemic. As of a few weeks ago, the Trump campaign had reserved roughly $150 million in TV ads to air between Labor Day and Election Day. That's according to data compiled by Ad Age. And most all of its advertising is focused on states the president won in 2016 and is trying to defend this November. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
This is NPR. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar will visit Taiwan this month. He's the most senior U.S. official to visit the island republic since 1979. Azar's visit comes as tensions are very high between the U.S. and China, which sees Taiwan as a renegade province. Amnesty International has documented more than 100 acts of undue violence by law enforcement during protests against racial injustice. This occurred over an 11-day period this summer. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports the group says more must be done to limit excessive and deadly force by police officers.
The report documents 125 separate acts of disproportionate police violence against protesters who took to the streets across the U.S. after the Minneapolis police killing of George Floyd. The Amnesty International report also highlights attacks on journalists, medics, and legal observers. It describes beatings, the use of tear gas and pepper spray, and the firing of rubber bullets that caused severe injuries, including loss of sight and broken bones. NPR requested comment from the Justice Department and Fraternal Order of Police, but didn't get a response from either. Amnesty is calling for police to comply with its best practices guidelines for policing protests and for more to be done to hold law enforcement accountable for human rights violations against protesters. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
Tropical storm Isaias left 6 people dead as it moved up the eastern seaboard on Monday and Tuesday. The storm has now entered Canada. It is more than 50 miles east of Quebec City. Top sustained winds are about 40 miles per hour. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.